Live from Gulfstream Park in South Florida, this is a special edition of Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Across America live from Gulfstream Park again. Really excited to be down here again, back on the road after a couple of years, you know, COVID related. We were stuck in the studio, which is fun as well, looking at big days, but it's always fun on a big day, big weekend to be on location. And tomorrow with the Florida Derby, really looking forward to it. Today on Racing Across America, a little bit later on, we'll be joined by Bill Badgett, Director of Florida Operations down here at Gulfstream, and also Ashley Malo, who you see pre-race and pre-game shows down here. We'll have her give some thoughts on some of the stakes action coming up tomorrow here on the really big Florida Derby card. But we're starting out. I'm sitting next to Kevin Kirstein from Churchill, the director of publicity up there. It is Derby time. Kevin's in town, obviously scouting a little bit. The horses that come out of the Florida Derby certainly will be players, some of them in the Kentucky Derby coming up in a few weeks. Good morning.
Yeah, 5 weeks away from the Derby. Good morning. And I'll tell you what, the weather is a lot nicer here probably than you're dealing with, even in the studio there.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Yeah.
It was nice to be down here a couple days on the beach and another beautiful day here today. Looking forward to it, certainly. And looking forward to, as I say, in 5 weeks, the Kentucky Derby. I'm sure you guys are ramping up, but I would think Kentucky Derby on the publicity side of things, I'm guessing you obviously work with Darren, and I'm guessing almost a year-round kind of a gig.
It really is. You know, we always start thinking about Derby the day after Derby runs for the following year, and so we're doing a lot of things at Churchill, both, you know, facility-wise, horse-wise, and, you know, just ready, really getting ready. And this year's really special because, you know, 2020, it really wasn't the same with the Derby, holding it in September because of the COVID pandemic. And so it just really didn't feel right. And they had so much social unrest in the city of Louisville then. And in 2021, it was half capacity at Churchill. And so it felt like the Derby a little bit, but just not quite the same. And this year, you know, we're really excited to have, you know, 150,000 fans on hand. Tickets are selling great. And it's going to be a great race this year for the first Saturday in May. And it's just really exciting to sort of get back to normal at Churchill.
Yeah. And, you know, last year for us up in our neck of the woods, up in Saratoga, things were kind of getting back to normal. And down here this weekend, down at Gulfstream, we seem to be kind of in a post-COVID situation, and it's nice to see and get a feeling. You know, there's still some differences, obviously, but it's moving clearly much more in the proper direction, and there's fans, and that's always great because that adds some juice to the game, certainly. We're going to talk a little Florida Derby in a second, but, you know, we were talking when I met you a couple of days ago, yesterday, I guess it was, and then when you came on the set, I asked, and you said you'd been at Fairgrounds last week. So in the context of Derby and Derby Trail, give me a little thought on Epicenter last week, because I think it seems like coming out of the race, he moved up a lot of lists.
Yeah, it sort of seemed that way. And, you know, the question going into the Louisiana Derby for a lot of gamblers was, what will the pace setup be in that race? You know, what would Zozos go from the rail? Would Pioneer Medina go from his outside? Would he get pressured like he did in the LeCompte? And how would he be able to handle that pressure? Because we saw when he was sort of, you know, winging it out on the front end and there was a pace battle in LeCompte, Call Me Midnight was able to, you know, sort of collapse into that pace and upset him there. And when he was able to track off of those two horses in third, and it just really showed a different dimension from him. And, you know, Steve Asmussen has really, you know, given praise to the Fairgrounds series because this horse started at going a mile, then a mile and a 16th, mile and 3/16th, and so he's really progressed in those distances and leading up to the mile and a quarter in the Kentucky Derby. And so you see a lot of these championship series races that are a mile and an eighth, which is, you know, a lot for these horses to handle for the first time, but going that little extra distance maybe gives him a little bit more of an advantage too leading into the Kentucky
Derby. Yeah, I think the change to the mile and 3/16th was really interesting for Fairgrounds, and it seemed like Asmussen did kind of comment on that, and now you're getting closer to the proof of concept of, yeah, we can get a mile and a quarter. So that was big last week. And before we get to the Florida Derby, I also want to ask you, just from the publicity side of things at Churchill Downs, got to be excited to see what Secret Oath does over at Oaklawn tomorrow. That's... because, and they've talked about, even if they beat the boys, maybe they wait to the Preakness to get back in the Triple Crown Trail. But if she decides – to go to the Kentucky Oaks, it's still going to make for a great weekend with Wayne Lucas in the mix.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, we're both gamblers. And, you know, I understand that Rob and Stacey Mitchell, her owners, you know, if they may say something right now, let's just wait and see. No, there's a reason why she's running the Arkansas Derby against the boys with 86-year-old Wayne Lucas. And the Oaks is going to be set up to be a great race, you know, with Echo Zulu winning down at Fairgrounds. Even if those two face off in the Kentucky Oaks, that'll be a heck of a race. But, yeah, I'd say if she runs, you know, top two at the Arkansas Derby, I think Lucas is going to send her against the boys in the Kentucky Derby. And no filly has been in the Kentucky Derby since we started the Road to the Derby in 2013.
Oh, right.
So that'll be exciting to see a filly be able to run on the first Saturday in May.
Yeah, because the point system has kind of changed things up. And so if they go in and, you know, get the points in the Arkansas Derby, yeah, you're absolutely right. We see that in horse racing all the time. Oh, here's my plan. Here's plan A. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden there's a little joke, and then all plan A is out the window and they're but as I say, one way or the other, it's just going to be fun to see Wayne Lucas back in the mix. All right, let's talk a little bit. Again, you're kind of in town, Derby Trail scouting Florida Derby. And I was kind of looking last night, and the Florida Derby is a productive prep for the Kentucky Derby and has been so over the last 10 years, if my figuring was right. Three of the last 10 winners of the Kentucky Derby have come out of the Florida Derby, making it a very productive prep. What are your thoughts on tomorrow's field?
You know, it was sort of interesting because a week ago, maybe even 10 days ago, looking at this Florida Derby, we didn't really realize that Classic Causeway was going to go down here. We thought he was going to go up to Kentucky for the Bluegrass at Lexington. And so, you know, it's interesting seeing him come off of a short rest to go into this spot. And, you know, all systems seemed like a go from what Brian Lynch is saying. But as a gambler, you're sort of looking at this, okay, well, you know, 3 weeks off of the Tampa Bay Derby, he's going to be 3.5 to 1, maybe a little bit less than that. He's gone off favored in, you know, every start but his debut at Saratoga. And so I think he's going to get bet off that morning line tomorrow. And so gambling on the race and coming off of a short rest, I think that's a lot to do for this horse, running against the likes of Simplification and White Abario.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm rooting for him because, you know, Brian Lynch and the owners are just great people. But gambling-wise, I just think he's going to be a little bit too short coming into this spot and against some of these other horses. And you mentioned, you know, three of the last 10 Derby winners have come from down here. I don't know exactly how strong the three-year-olds in my mind this year have been in Florida, but I think there's a really strong one in this race in White Abario, who's we haven't seen since January. And so that's another big question too, if you're gambling on the race, is, you know, how will this horse be coming into the race off the layoff?
I thought Simplification looked good last time too. I mentioned on the previous show, for me, the early preps, the early steps right at the end of last year in January and February, it was hard to get super excited. But I think going back to Simplification, I think the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've seen some really nice performances that I think will prove fruitful going forward. And I think tomorrow is going to be part of that trail.
Yeah, and, you know, we've sort of seen with, you know, the two-year-olds and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile how not really productive that race is going to be. And leading into the Kentucky Derby, you want the horse that's sort of on the improve and on the up and up. And you mentioned, you know, Simplification of everything that's going the right direction for him. And, you know, is he going to peak tomorrow? Is he going to peak on the Kentucky Derby day? But I think he's leading, all things are leading up to a big effort tomorrow.
Yeah, just looking forward to tomorrow's race. And as I say, the Florida Derby is typically very productive. And I think it's a strong field tomorrow that, again, we'll continue that trend we've seen over the past month or so in my eyes. And Classic Causeway, folks were looking at, we had the 84 buyer coming out of that. But if I'm not mistaken, Timeform had a much more significant number. I think these days a lot of people look at the buyers, but I'm curious as to how that's going to play out tomorrow, because as I say, at least one of the other number makers was a little more enthusiastic about the number performance for Classic Causeway.
Yeah, that's sort of like me as a gambler. You know, I look at all those different numbers. You know, Brisbane has a number, Timeform, DRF, you know, they all have numbers, but it's, you know, sort of looking at the aggregate average of those numbers to see, you know, is there an outlier? And, you know, we've sort of seen the outliers in the last couple of races. So really, how strong were those Tampa races? And, you know, is that number better than what it shows on paper?
And as you say, the Brian Lynch, we had an interview with Brian Lynch that we'll play tomorrow, and he talked a little bit about the decision-making, but they were thinking Bluegrass. But, you know, that veteran trainer, when he kind of changes up like that and says, my horse is feeling good, so I'm going to – that's significant too. So it's going to be fun to see. And I think, I think there'll be productive runners coming out of this heading up to Louisville on that first Saturday in May. And I'm just curious, how'd you get to Churchill? Give us a little bit of the background. How'd you get in the racing game and then move into the publicity side at Churchill?
Yeah, I really didn't know what a horse was until I moved down to Kentucky in 2008 to go to college and went to the track fall meet 2008. And I said, man, I can gamble on these things. I gambled on sports in high school and stuff, really just sort of under the table when I was too young. And that really hooked me. I started skipping classes and took an extra half a year of college because I spent too much time at the track. And then I got the stopwatch in my hand for the last couple years of college. I was clocking in the mornings at Keeneland and then up at Churchill. Nice. And then, my parents pressured me, hey, you need a full-time job. You need something with healthcare. And so I ended up getting in at Churchill, worked in marketing for 5 years. And now, as I like to say, Darren saved me, and I'm working in the publicity department at Churchill.
Yeah, Darren, great guy, does a great job there, kind of keeping the flow during the Derby trail and whatnot. And as I say, that has got to be kind of a year-round gig for you guys because it's such a big event, and really looking forward to it this year. And as it's playing out and will continue to play out over the next couple of weeks with the final round of Derby preps, we'll get more. If a filly was in the field, that would just these days, because as you say, it's been a while now with the point system, and if Secret Oath does wind up in the field, it's just going to be a phenomenal. That I'm as a media guy, and I'm a gambler. I like to gamble. I like to handicap and hit the races, but I also like good stories, and I think there are some really nice storylines heading into this year's Derby.
Yeah, absolutely. And Secret Oath would be the biggest of them all leading into the Derby because of 86-year-old Wayne Lucas, and he's won the Derby 4 times, and so can he do it again with the filly? He's done it in 1988, of course, and so that's just a great storyline. And then just looking at the people leading into this Kentucky Derby, I think there's gonna be a lot of cool storylines leading up to that race in 5 weeks now, and it's here before we know it.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And you said you used to clock, and when I said you want to come on the show, you said you'd be at the track, so you're watching some of the workouts this morning?
Yeah, I got here early, and I'm going up to Palm Meadows tomorrow. I think Latruska is probably going to breeze up there tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
So it'll be really
yeah.
exciting to go see her. I haven't seen her since she was in Kentucky in the fall, so it's exciting seeing, being on this trail the last few weeks of seeing horses that I haven't seen since November that are now blossoming and improving as, older horses, and so that's really exciting to see some of the horses I've been familiar with in Kentucky now really how they've done over the winter.
So you're making the most of Florida Derby Day.
Absolutely.
Very good. Well, appreciate your visit this morning. And as I say, just wanted to tie in, we're making a major step here. Tomorrow's Grade 1, the Florida Derby, leading to the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby. So you're in town, as I say, kind of scouting the prospects that will come out of the very productive, normally, Florida Derby. But we appreciate your thoughts. Kevin Kirstein from Churchill Downs. Appreciate it. We'll talk again.
Best of luck this weekend.
Appreciate it. Same to you.
Thanks.
Right back at you. All right. I'm going to send it now to Tate Peace. I was at the sale a couple of days ago. They had the Facek Tipton sale right off here in the paddock, and I turned around at one point, and John Velasquez was behind me, and I said, what are you doing here? Because he's out in Southern California, and tomorrow he's in Arkansas. Well, they have the John Velasquez bobblehead giveaway today for the PDJF, great charity. And so John said, that's why I'm here. I said, well, let me grab a few minutes from you to talk a little bit about how that Southern California experiment went. Very well, I will hint you. But it's a couple of minutes coming up with John Velasquez. And again, talk a little Southern California. And at the end of the interview, he talks a little bit about the horses tomorrow at Oaklawn as well. So up next, John Velasquez.
Team now with a 16th of a mile to go. And Black Adder takes command under Johnny V, who gets a warm welcome to Southern California. Black Adder wins the opener.
Yeah, I have to say, a very successful meet. Like you said yourself, and it's very difficult for a guy who's spent all his time in the East Coast and especially in the wintertime coming to go to South Florida and especially and then going to the West Coast. It's always a very tricky move for anybody, though. And I have to say, it was very, very well meet for us, how it went, and a lot of help from the trainers and owners. So definitely I had a lot of help, yes.
And as I said, you had to have considered a success, the move.
Absolutely. It was very successful. Being there talked to a lot of trainers and a lot of owners, and they wish that I'd stay there. So that's another topic for another time.
And talk a little bit about, you're here at Gulfstream today, midweek, but you're headed to Arkansas on the weekend. Why are you in Florida? And then give us a little preview of the weekend on Doppelganger and the Derby.
Yeah, down here to South Florida, they're having the bubble day, giveaway on Friday. So come here for that. And I took a few days off to come here, even my wife, and had a few days off here and there, and get a little bit of fun to people that I haven't seen. And obviously me being in the West Coast, and people that I'm normally acquainted to, the people here in South Florida. We're getting a little break, but Friday we have the bubble giveaway. Saturday going in Arkansas. Very excited for the two horses. They look pretty well. It's a very competitive race. Like, you know, it's always to see who's going to step up for the next level, and hopefully the horse run really well.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Racing Across America live from Gulfstream Park. And again, really appreciate the hospitality from the folks here at Gulfstream for allowing us to sit in on their paddock set. Lots of action will be happening behind me, or where is behind me. I will no longer be here, but a lot of action in a couple hours or so as the Friday card will kick off. Brian Netto and I took a look at that earlier on the Handicapper's Report. If you didn't get a chance to see that or didn't get a chance to write down the picks, you can go pick up the one sheet at CapitalOTB.com. Nice printable sheet with all the selections for this afternoon. As I said, I got down here Monday. It's been a great visit so far. Just relaxed for a couple of days, but Monday night, I went out to Pompano Park and filmed a little bit out there. We'll have a piece probably on Sunday, because if you're not aware, Pompano is in their last days. They're going to close. I think the 17th is their last day, so less than 10 racing days left. But I talked with some of the folks out there, John Barry, who's the director of publicity and a longtime industry veteran, and it was fun to talk to him. We talked with Gabe Pruitt, the track announcer. And I will also mention Monday night, and if you watch the simulcast, if you watch on Monday night from Pompano Park, Gabe Pruitt, the announcer at Pompano, and Pete Aiello, the announcer right up here at Gulfstream, will have a harness match race for charity coming up on Monday night. I believe it's between the fourth and the fifth races on Monday night. So we'll probably pump that out as well, because it should be a lot of fun to watch. So we talked with Gabe a little bit, of just Gabe and John, about the last days at Pompano, and also let them tout the match race for charity as well, which should be fun. But that, I'll probably plug that in Sunday morning, the Pompano piece. We also have coming up a little bit later on, we had the sale here on Wednesday, a little piece on that. Coming up a little bit later on the show live, we'll have Bill Badgett from Gulfstream Park. He'll join us in a few, and Ashley Malo will also jump in live to give some thoughts on some of the stakes action tomorrow as well. But before that, We were up at Palm Meadows yesterday. I was at Payson Park a couple of days ago, too. We'll try to put something together for that as well, because I took a little video. I'd never been up there. Man, you want to talk rural. It is way out there. But it's a beautiful facility. Separate dirt and turf training tracks at Payson. So I was there Tuesday. But yesterday, we went up to Palm Meadows. And as we were kind of traveling around, ran into Danny Gargan. He has a couple of stakes runners on the card tomorrow. So we got a little update on his two stakes runners on the Florida Derby card. And we talked about a few other things, including I was curious to hear a trainer's take on the mile chute that's being constructed up at Saratoga. So we got a little bit of that from Danny Gargan as well. So up next, trainer Danny Gargan.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Happy to talk to you a little bit about the Saturday runners coming up in the Cutler Bay. Gooch Go Bra claimed them two back. Nice claim because you followed up with a nice win.
The advantage, it's still Forever Super. Gonzalez takes a peek in the mirror and sees he has a two-length head start on Gooch Go Bra, who takes aim second. Toward the outside, Beloved Warrior is now third. Here comes Gooch Go Bra. He's surging forward now. Gooch Go Bra, bros by Forever Super, who's out of gas. On the outside, Beloved Warrior tries to catch him. Gooch Go Bra in front.
What are you looking on Saturday for Gooch Go Bra in the Cutler Bay?
Well, we were planning on running a colt named La Machina, and he come up with a foot abscess, and he's going to miss the race. And then Gooch ran a really, really big sheet number. He ran, a 13 minus on the rags. He ran a 9 on the thoroughgraph. So we figured we'd give him a shot. You know, he ran huge the other day. He finishes up. His race is nice. Kind of excited about this horse this summer, going a mile and an eighth, mile and a quarter. I think the further he goes, the better he's going to get.
Yeah, very good. So you have another one a little bit earlier or later on the card, I guess, Stunning Princess in the Sands Springs. Third last time at Tampa in the Endeavor. Second before that in the Tropical Park Oaks.
Out trying to follow Stunning Princess in the winner's circle. Tries to keep her in as they race to the top of the stretch. Ladies Fights Fair. Oh, Ladies Fights Fair was green off the corner. She shifted in and then shifted out and then came back in. That opened the door wide up for Mademoiselle Nova, who takes the lead. Ladies Fights Fair back running again. Down the center in Stunning Princess. Bipartisanship. Loose and charged between. Bipartisanship surges to win the Tropical Park Oaks. Second Stunning Princess.
But I looked at the last work, 46 and change, just about a week or so ago. What are you looking for Stunning Princess?
She's training really well. She had a good, you know, the turf course here, when you breeze on the inside, is a little faster. She actually worked with Gooch. They worked together. Both of them went really well. I'm really, you know, pleased with her. She's had she loves the Gulfstream turf. She's had a few wins here. She was second beaten ahead in a stake here earlier in the year. And then she came back the other day at Tampa, and Chad run a really nice horse. That filly, I think, is probably one of the best turf fillies in the country on this coast. She's undefeated for good connections. I mean, obviously, when you run against Chad, it's hard to win. You know, we're just happy when we run second or third to him, to tell you the truth. Brilliant horseman. Does a good job. His horses are great. And, you know, I think she's going to run really, really big. I would love to win a stake with her, Randy Hill and the Joneses, yeah, owner. And
they're great.
Yeah, and so is Brett and Burton. I mean, it's such a great group of cast of people that own the filly, and it'd be a lot of fun to win this stake. And, you know, she's going to be a lovely broodmare down the road. She's such a big, pretty, strong, pretty filly.
And we were talking, just to wrap up, we were talking before we got the camera rolling, you have some young horses you're looking forward to and looking forward to move north. Talk a little bit about the transition as Gulfstream winds down. What's the game plan, and how do you transition your horses up north?
Well, you know, it's a little trickier than people think. I mean, obviously, we won't run a ton at Aqueduct. We'll have a few start runners there. You know, we have a small stable there right now. We'll start shipping a few of the grass horses back. You know, everybody knows I kind of focus for Saratoga. So we'll run, you know, when we get back, we got a lot of maidens this year, a lot of horses with conditions. So we'll run some at Belmont, and we'll ship probably 30-something horses to Saratoga in May. I think we're going to have a nice presence with two-year-olds this year. We had a first-time starter win at Saratoga last year. I'm hoping to have a little more success than that this year. Hopefully two or three of them can win. I like the cast of babies we have, and it's going to be a lot of fun this summer for us.
Well, I'll ask you mentioned shipping up there in May. You like training there in the off-season?
Well, it's the best track in the country. You know, New York's really blessed. People don't realize that, you know, New York's tough labor board. It's all things like that, and, you know, it costs more to be there. But the tracks you train on there and the surfaces and the track man, Glenn, they really care about the horses. You know, the people that run and manage, you know, Belmont, Saratoga, David, those guys, they care about having the tracks, and it's probably the best place in the country to train a racehorse. I'd say Saratoga and Belmont both. because you have so many options. You have two tracks, you have a turf course, you have turf gallops. They offer so much more, and their facilities are just, you know, they're beautiful, and it's a blessing to be able to train those places.
Got any thoughts before we let you go? I've said that three times now, but I keep thinking, got any thoughts on the new chute they're going to put in up there?
Well, you know, it kind of reminds me of a track that, you know, I'm from Kentucky. Ellis Park has same chute. So it's kind of a fun race. I mean, it's a little different. Some people are going to love it. Some people are going to hate it. But it's kind of a cool race because Ellis Park has basically the same thing. And it's a fun race to bet on. It's a fun race to watch. Jockeys will have to ride smarter. Guys like Kendrick, Johnny V, some of the Ortizes. Those guys are they're clever guys. Jose Ortiz, he'll ride it great because he's really good with his times. So it's going to be fun to watch how the riders ride it more than anything. Yeah. And it's, you know, anytime there's something new, some people hate it, some people love it. I'm excited to see it.
Me too.
You know, Saratoga is Saratoga. It's the greatest place on earth. You know, one of my owners said one time, this is Disneyland for horse racing. Yeah. And it really is. It's adult Disneyland. And so we're all excited about getting up there and enjoying the summer.
Very good. Good luck on Saturday. We'll see you at Saratoga.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Danny Garrigan, again, we caught up with him yesterday up at Paul Meadows as we kind of made our way around that training facility, watched some horses work out and whatnot. So, again, thanks to Danny. And, again, good luck to him and a couple of stakes tomorrow. And it will be fun to see how that mile chute works out up at Saratoga. It's going to add a nice little twist, I think. I kind of agree with Danny. It'll be fun to kind of see how it works out over the first few races over that new configuration and how the jockeys kind of try to figure it out. I mentioned earlier on the handicapping show, Luis Saez in the lead, and I pulled up the numbers because I didn't have the numbers right at my fingertips. But Luis Saez, so far, according to Equibase stats this morning, the latest numbers at this Gulfstream meet, Saez with 118 wins, running second, Tyler Gaffleon 86. So Luis Saez, just a phenomenal meet so far. He and his agent, Karen McLaughlin, doing a great job as usual. But as I say, I pulled up those stats a couple of weeks ago, and the gap was that big then too. And I thought, man, I knew he was having a good meet, but just incredible. Let me set up the weekend for you. Unfortunately, it only works for folks who are here, but again, you saw it. John Velasquez mentioned it in the piece we taped with him at the sale on Wednesday. Bobblehead giveaway here at the track today, but it benefits the PDJF, and so I mention it because of that great organization. And if you check out the PDJF website, you can donate in that fashion. But down here at the racetrack, there will be the bobblehead giveaway, which should be a lot of fun this afternoon. Tomorrow, it is Florida Derby Day, and don't forget tomorrow, first post is at 11:30 tomorrow. So keep that in mind, 11:30 post tomorrow here at Gulfstream. TV reminder for us, we will be on at 8 a.m. Tomorrow. For handicapper support, 8:30 for Racing Across America tomorrow, Saturday, again, live here from Gulfstream Park. And then don't forget, coming up on Sunday, it's a mandatory pay in the Rainbow Six, and they're expecting $5 million. And sometimes they're conservative with those numbers. That could juice up significantly by Sunday afternoon. So, again, keep that in mind. Sunday is a mandatory with the Rainbow Six here at Gulfstream Park. All right, we will head to a break and then come back here for more action live from the Gulfstream Park paddock. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned.
Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops.
My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back. As I mentioned earlier, in the paddock behind me on Wednesday, the Facek Tipton two-year-old sale, which has been here at Gulfstream for a while. They breeze out on the track on Monday, and then they have hold the sale on Wednesday. And I kind of popped around and talked to some people. Anna Seitz, Cianello from Facek Tipton. We got a little thoughts from the Facek Tipton side of things and how they've been happy with pairing up with Gulfstream Park for the sale over the past few years. I ran into Larry Colmus during the sale, and I was talking to him, and he said, you know, I used to be up there on the stand as well for a year with Facek. And so I had Larry talk a little bit about what he did on that side of things. And then from the buyer side, Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds was down, and I think they got a couple of horses. I ran into him at the end of the sale. But I talked to Terry about what, from the buyer side of things, how the sale played out. And then also, I couldn't let Terry go without talking about a couple of his very, very nice horses right now, Flightline and First Captain. So we got updates on those as well. So up next, a few minutes from Wednesday's sale here at Gulfstream Park.
$1,200,000 down, 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 $1,200,000 and I have $1,100,000 Balake, thank you.
Facek Tipton has been at Gulfstream. This is our seventh year. This would have been our eighth year, but we had to take 1 year off because of COVID. And it's just a phenomenal place to sell horses, perfect weather, great racetrack, great restaurants, the beach. So it's kind of ties in for the owners, trainers, sellers. Everybody likes to come and have a good time, sell horses, buy horses. So it really works for us. The horse people have been receptive of trying out a new area. I think they like coming down here, and it's fun. This would normally be a day of racing, and to go dark on a Wednesday afternoon to put on a horse sale, it's pretty cool. So a lot of fans come out to see the sale. It's a unique setting, and there's some really, really nice horses in this sale. Everybody's been talking about the Bolt d'Oros all, and the Good Magics, and the City of Lights, and there's all kinds of sexy freshman sires. So we're just hoping to have a good sale, and these horses will go on to be the real deal.
I'll take 55. You can do that. Now 60. Dan, 60. 60. Now 5. You're going to be 5, Jody boy. 65. 65. Now 70. What do you think? 70. That's 70. He said, now 5.
I was doing some announcing for Facek Tipton. It was a lot of fun working right next to the auctioneer on the stand and introducing the horses as they come in, telling people the reasons why they should be buying the horse. And it was a lot different from race calling, but I enjoyed doing it. And it's great to catch up with all these great people at Facek Tipton.
What is the pre-planning on that?
There's a lot of pre-planning because I'm someone that isn't as experienced with sales as a lot of these other guys are. So, you know, you're making all these notes, and then there's always changes to the catalog, and you have to figure out, you know, what's what as far as the most important thing to say and things like that. So it's quite a bit of prep work.
800-825. Well, thank you. 800-825. Anyone else? 825,000 and Bruce, $800,000. Thank you.
All the buyers are here. You know, I think a lot of people combined a couple days in South Florida and a mini vacation with trying to pick up some good horses. Well, actually, the good thing is it's not a big catalog, so on the fact that they can breeze, and you know, you get your list down to 20, 25 horses, which is about, I don't know, 1 in 4, and then you can spend all day Tuesday in the evaluation and the vet work. So it just works out, you know. And I guess the other good thing is that they can work, or they do work over the dirt course down here, as opposed to OBS when they're on the synthetic. So that, you know, for the right horse, I think that does them well to be able to perform and to show their stuff over the dirt. I think that's the key of the two-year-old set, and the benefit and the disadvantage, right? There are advantages and disadvantages. The advantages are that we can see them in kind of a combine situation, just like the NFL does every year in Indianapolis. But the drawback is that, you know, we see what everybody else sees. So that just comes down to the way they're put together and their confirmation after they breeze, and also their vet work. And the third element is what they're going to cost in the ring. So you put all those together, and you don't come up with many, but you come over here and you try to buy, you try to do the best you can, and you try to buy the horses that you really want, and everybody else is trying to do the same thing. So, you know, it's a puzzle, but we love it.
As Flightline turns it on at the top of the stretch, and he's in cruise control. Flightline, a superstar, is dominating the Run Happy Malibu, and he's going to turn this into his easiest win yet. Flightline, jogging home under Flavien Prat, wins by a distance.
He's a pretty nice horse. He's back on the racetrack. He should, any day now, we'll see him on the work tab, and we have a big bullet on the day, Belmont Stakes Day, the Met Mile, going a mile, and we just hope that's the start of a very good second half of the year for Flightline.
Toward the outside, first captain is Astaquick, and he's got 3 lengths to make up. Trophy Chaser back for a little bit more at the rail. 45-1 for a half mile. Doc Emster, he's still the target, and he's an eighth of a mile from home. At the rail, that's still a run from Trophy Chaser. Down the center, first captain from between Dennis's Moment. Doc Emster still clear. First captain running out of time. He starts to gain late ground. Doc Emster almost home. First captain's going to get him. First captain.
I know Shug is really, really happy with him. The horse has got a lot of confidence, and I saw him work the other day, and we're sitting on go, and I just hope we get a fair and a safe race, but I think we're going to be a factor in the Carter Handicap next week.
I'm Seth Merrill, and as serious horse players, we know that information is critical when placing a bet. With live streaming of more than 30 tracks, race replays, free past performances, and daily picks from professional handicappers, no one gives you more up-to-the-minute information than Capital OTB. Combine that with the best player awards in New York State, and you have everything a serious horse player needs to be successful.
Win more with Capital OTB.
Winning starts here.
The Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTB.com.
Back to Racing Across America. Happy to be joined now by Ashley Mayhew from Gulfstream Park, formerly from Fort Erie. I can remember seeing you up that way. And I'm curious, now that you've been in Florida for a while, you a real Florida person if it gets under 65 degrees? Do you put on a parka?
No, I'm still in shorts. Maybe a pullover. I like the cold. I look forward to cold days. Everyone else is bundled up, but I enjoy it.
Well, wait a minute. Now you're calling 65 cold, though.
That's cold down here. We did have a couple of mornings, though, where it was in the like mid-40s, and that was a little cold for me.
There you go. So, again, you get down here in Florida, the blood changes, it seems like. But I'm totally into it because this was a nice change for us from being up there a couple of days ago up in the upstate New York area. So I appreciate certainly the warm weather down here over the past few days. Warm here this morning as well, and looking forward to some nice, hopefully nice weather tomorrow for Florida Derby Day. We'll see how that all works out, but it's a great card tomorrow. Before we get to that, and we're not going to see it here on the screen because they're pumping the graphics in from our studio up in New York, but I pulled up from your Twitter feed a picture, and you'll know what I'm talking about. I guess it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe Holy Bull Day, where you had a picture of you and Kenny Mayne sitting here on the set, and then next to it you had a picture of, I'm guessing, you as a schoolgirl and the family with Kenny Mayne. So, Kenny, a family friend?
No. So, actually, that was Fountain of Youth when I saw Kenny, I guess, for the second time since the first time we met. No, that was back at Saratoga, I think in the early 2000s. Okay. And my dad would always make me take pictures with jockeys and trainers, and we loved watching ESPN. So, he's like, hey, you have to get a picture with Kenny and Janine and Randy. So, I was kind of forced into it, and then it was kind of full circle when he was here just about a month ago, here for March 5th, and it was a lot of fun.
I didn't realize it was right up in our neck of the woods at Saratoga. And Kenny, at Saratoga, I would see him every once in a while, and he was one of those guys on ESPN that it was fun to root for because he was a horse racing guy, obviously, and that's what the thing, you'd see him at Saratoga, and he'd be in shorts and at the betting window. And so you got to love a guy like that. When I had my television production company, used to shoot some things for Chris Lincoln, who had the horse racing recap show. But Kenny was one of those guys that you knew was a real horse racing fan. And I didn't realize the picture was up in Saratoga, but it was very interesting, the meeting up with Kenny at a couple of different spots in the life, as it were. But now you're down here, and you do occasionally popping in on the big days, the pregame and the pre-race commentary from the paddock as well. So I thought we'd get some of your thoughts on the big day tomorrow. And let's kick it off and take a look at the Florida Derby, which I just think is a really, really good addition. I'm going to go with Charge It, just because it's Todd Pletcher. It's lightly raced. Todd does so well down here at Gulfstream. And on the Derby Trail, these Derby Trail type races, I think we may get a little bit of value. We'll see. But I just think being lightly raced and some of these other horses with a little more credentials under their name, I'm hoping we get some value on Charge It. So I'll use him. But, boy, Simplification looked great in the Fountain of Youth. White of Barrio looked great in the Holy Bull. Classic Causeway looked great in the Tampa Bay Derby. I think it's a fun race. What are your thoughts on the Florida Derby?
I think it's a challenging race to handicap. Yeah. Just looking at the pace scenario, there's a couple runners in here that have a lot of early speed. We saw that from Classic Causeway at the Tampa Bay Derby. And then you mentioned Charge It. I mean, he was kind of a runaway winner, much the best last time out. Obviously, he's stepping up from maiden special weight right into grade one water. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs. You mentioned White of Barrio, who I think is interesting for Safi Joseph Jr., because I wasn't really a fan of this horse early on. He broke his maiden, and I said it was impressive. And then next time out, they actually took him to Kentucky, which I liked the move. They took him out of here. I thought he ran well in the grade two event, and then in the Holy Bull, he was just sensational. Like, career best from him. He enjoyed the couple months off, so I'm going with him here. I know kind of on Twitter, you read about the workout pattern for him. He just worked a couple days ago, I believe on Tuesday, a very sharp work, and the gallop out was nice. So for me, I'm going with him. And in Simplification, I think when you look at his last performance, his last two, he's interesting because I really think the Holy Bull was a good learning experience for him. He didn't have to go to the front, and I think that's why he probably came out the victor on Fountain Youth Day.
And, you know, you mentioned that Kentucky Jockey Club. As far as two-year-old races last year, boy, you compare that to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and you're talking about a super productive race in that Kentucky Jockey Club with a number of next-out winners on the stakes level coming out of that, and it's just been a promising race, and it can't hurt a horse to have a nice race over Churchill Downs as well.
No, and it's his only loss, but he's still kind of got a minor share in there. He's undefeated here over the main track, and I think, you know, in the Holy Bull, he just sat just off the pace. He kind of pressed the pace, and he was able to prevail, and it'll be interesting to see with with so much speed in the race, what the decision is there from Tyler Gaffleon.
Yeah, nice full field in there, and again, competitive field, and you would have to think, you know, I said earlier on the show, three of the last 10 winners of the Kentucky Derby have come out of the Florida Derby, and you'd have to think it's going to be productive again this year.
I would think so. I think there's about four or five horses on paper that I think can win it, so it makes it wide open.
Yeah, should be a fun addition coming up tomorrow. A little earlier on the card, the three-year-old ladies will face off in the Gulfstream Park Oaks, $250,000 up for grabs in the Grade Two at 8.5 furlongs. And I was up at Payson a couple of days ago, and I saw Kathleen O, and I'm going to tilt in that direction. I just thought in the Devona Dale continuing an undefeated career so far, she looked really good for Shug, but Goddess of Fire going out for Todd Pletcher, shipped over to Fairgrounds last time, and we had a pretty good second in the Rachel Alexandra. Katish for Jonathan Thomas, I think, could be a little bit interesting with iRod on board at a 6-1 morning line price. So fun race, but Kathleen O just looks like she may be a really budding star in here, so I'm going to tilt in that direction. Your thoughts on the Oaks?
We're on the same page here. I do think it's probably a two-horse race on paper between Kathleen O and Todd Pletcher's Goddess of Fire, and I think they both have some upside. In the case of Kathleen O, it's been kind of fun. In a couple of these races, I've been able to talk to Javier Castellano after the races, and she certainly doesn't do herself any favors. She's always at the back of the pack. We saw that on debut over a muddy track, which is a tough ask of a horse kind of on debut to rally from off the pace in there. She's done that every single time. So knowing that she's able to get the job done and kind of, you know, doesn't help herself early on, I think she's quite talented. But if you look at Goddess of Fire, I mean, my argument here is she kind of shows up in all of her races no matter where she's been. She's well-traveled. She's never raced over the same course twice. Going to try Gulfstream Park for the first time, and it's Todd. I mean, it's hard to ignore his horses. The only maybe disappointment in her last two, she's just fallen a bit short.
Yeah, and Luis Saez on board, and I mentioned earlier, boy, he's having a great meet. I mean, but 30 ahead of the second place rider right now, Tyler Gaffleon. And I mentioned, I pulled up those stats about a week or so ago, and I knew he was having a great meet. I didn't realize it was that good. It's just been phenomenal. Luis Saez and Karen putting together another good Gulfstream meet. A little bit earlier on the card, the Sir Shackleton, 7 furlongs, $100,000 up for grabs. I put Fortin Road on top. Goes out for Bill Mott off a decent little seasonal debut off a long layoff that I think can move the horse forward a little bit. So I'm going to tilt in that direction. Collaborate for Safi. I talked to Safi, and we'll have some of that interview on, and he said, man, the horse is kind of breaking his heart. It doesn't quite know what to expect race to race, but thinks he's very talented. I'm going to be interested to see what Wayburn can do. Used to be in the barn at Jimmy Jerkins, now down here, Brendan Walsh. But, boy, that's a horse that showed some promise earlier in the career. But I'm going to tilt towards Fortin Road. What are your thoughts on the Sir Shackleton?
Yeah, Fortin Hill, when you kind of look at that last race, quick tempos directly to his outside in here, was able to clear the field, do it easily, and was able to prevail. I guess aptly named as well, quick tempo in that race. And then Fortin Hill, you mentioned a long layoff. This is a really long layoff, and you look at him before that, raced on the slop in the Grade 1 Forgo. The waters were deep there, and he didn't perform well. So something obviously maybe went amiss in there. And the barn does well with horses second off the long layoff. He's run well at Gulfstream Park now twice, a very long time between those races here. But I think the only way that he gets beat here is if he can't progress. But with the way Bill Mott trains his horses, I think we're going to kind of expect this one to move up. And you mentioned Collaborate. Going to try, you know, put the blinkers on today for the first time. My only concern with him is which version of him is going to show up. Another thing, if you notice and you look at his three wins, he's raced with Lasix in all of those races. When he's off Lasix, we haven't seen the same version of him. So I'm not sure which version we're going to get of him. He seems to be training well. He's only making his third start since July. So you wonder if form cycle-wise he can kind of improve.
Yeah, he's certainly very interesting, and that's the sense I got from Safi as well, that he was kind of not sure, but on his day, he can run very well. Ashley, before I let you go, I always like to get a little background. How'd you get into the game? And I'm assuming with the visit to Saratoga and pictures with the jockeys and whatnot, families at least interested or involved in the game. How did you become interested and involved in horse racing?
I think both my parents like the game. I think my dad loves the game a little bit more than my mom. So as a kid on the weekends, whether mom was working or not, it'd either be a couple of us or the whole family would go to Fort Erie on the weekends, and we'd go on Saturdays and Sundays. It's when they had a longer meet and kind of sparked, I guess, the bug that I have now just to go to all the tracks that we can. So we spent a lot of summers in Saratoga. There's probably 10 summers in a row that we went. We had the same area that we camp out right outside the paddock. You'd bring your camping chairs and your cooler and just set up for the day workouts until the last race. And then we'd hit the hotel, and we'd do that for about 5 or 6 days in a row until Mom was sick of it. So every trip we would take, it would just be like, okay, we're going to Arizona. Can we hit a track there? We're going to West Virginia. You name it. We've been to a bunch of tracks, all the way from small tracks to the biggest tracks, and I haven't found one that I really don't like yet. So it's just kind of been a family thing. Some people want to hit all of the ballparks. They want to go to all the different games and such like that. And for us, it's racetracks.
Do you know, have the number? How many checked off?
So if you count harness racing, over 50. We're over 50.
Very good.
I've been to a couple that my dad hasn't been to. So that bothers him a little bit. So Del Mar's on that list, Kentucky Downs. And luckily I got him to Pimlico a couple of years ago, so we were even on that one.
Del Mar, now they have the fall meet, but Del Mar is one I always want to get to. But we're live up from the backstretch in Saratoga, so Del Mar's been tough. But with the fall meet, I'd love to get out there because I'm a beach person too, and they have that shot they put up before the signal starts where they're looking at the beach across the street. And I go, oh, this is perfect. A little beach, a little racetrack. And you were the paddock commentator up at Fort Erie. And a few years ago, we did one of our road trips to cover. It was either Queens Plate or Woodbine Mile. And usually we drive up together. For some reason, on the way back, I was alone. And I thought, I'm going to swing by Fort Erie. Fort Erie's fun. And
fun.
So I was kind of walking around in Fort Erie and walked by that little tiki bar. And there was two or three couples there. And they're like, hey, Seth. And they were Saratoga. You know, they all spent about a week in Saratoga and watched us up there. So, yeah, I'm big at the Tiki Bar.
The Tiki Bar is a popular spot, and I think, you know, I grew up going there, so it's been fun over the years to see people, and you start to get to know them, and they're kind of like your racetrack family. And the walking ring I love. I think the infield's beautiful, a lot of trees and plants, so it's exciting. I'm hoping to get up there for the Prince of Wales with the border restrictions. I couldn't really go up there, so it's been about two years since I've been to live racing there, so the itch is there. I need to make it back.
And what is the race? I don't think they throw them in. I think they voluntarily jump in, right?
The puss in boots. So a horse back in the day, you'd gotten loose and decided to go for a swim, and I guess the jockey didn't know how to swim. It was like this whole this whole show of entertainment, and then the puss in boots is a cup race on the grass, and the story that I've been told is several years ago, this has been a tradition for a while now, we're talking to the owner, and, you know, the jockey, Francine Villeneuve, had said, you know, we're going to win this. And he didn't believe so. He says, if we win it, then I'm going to jump in the lake, too, and do what Puss in Boots did. Well, the horse won. So that started the tradition of jumping in the infield lake there. So that's what happens. Every year, the owner, the trainer, and the jock, they go for a nice little swim.
Yeah, very good. Stuck in my mind, that tradition. Down here this weekend, as I mentioned to people, unfortunately, if you're watching, you won't be able to take advantage, but the bobblehead giveaway today.
Yeah.
Great racing tomorrow with the Florida Derby, and kicks off at 11:30. And then the Rainbow Six Mandatory on Sunday. And I'm curious if you guys in the office marvel the way, when I do the handicapping show in the afternoon in upstate New York, and we're watching down here, and the numbers come up for the Rainbow day after day after day. I am amazed at how quick it goes up. There's a mandatory, and it seems like a week and a half later, it's back in $1 million. People love the Rainbow down here.
I can't even make it up. When we're in the media office, Acacia, Ron, Brian, and I will watch the pool. We'll all say, oh, we think it's going to get X amount of dollars. And then when we see there's large sums of money that go into it when it ticks up, and we're all like cheering and hollering at it just to see who's the closest. But people love the Rainbow Six down here on those mandatory days, and we've seen some really good payouts in it.
And I've said over the years, it's fun, too, when the carryover gets to about $500,000, even the consolation is okay. You can wind up putting together a nice little affordable ticket and wind up with, you know, $800 or $1,200. And so it's a fun play, as I say, as it gets up to about the $500,000 point, just to play around with it, much less coming up Sunday. The estimate is $5 million, but I think it might be north of that.
Yeah, I play a lot on those days, and I'm usually the 5 out of 6 queens, so I don't get the consolations, and then I still participate on mandatory day just because there's a lot. So I'm hoping to fund and pad my wallet on Saturday. There's some tough sequences to get through, and hopefully I can play in the Rainbow.
Very good. Ashley, we appreciate the visit. We'll talk again. Good luck over the weekend, and as I say, we appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wind it up for this Friday morning. Stay tuned.
BetWare's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTV is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTV TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTV live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTV TV. OTV TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Seth Merrill live from Gulfstream Park. Thanks again to Ashley Mayu from Gulfstream. And also a little bit earlier, Kevin Kirstein. And appreciate also the tape pieces, Danny Gargan taking a few minutes, Johnny Velasquez, and the folks at the Facing Tipton sale on Wednesday. Hopefully you appreciated those. Tomorrow we have some tape pieces as well. Brian Lynch, we talked to him. We talked to Safi Joseph. We will have more. We will have live guests tomorrow. Don't forget, Handicapper Support kicks off at 8 a.m. and Racing Across America at 8:30 tomorrow on Florida Derby Day. Tomorrow post time is 11:30 for Florida Derby card here at Gulfstream. Today, things will kick off at 1:05, so keep that in mind. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Looks like about time to close things up on this Friday morning live from Gulfstream Park. Again, thanks to everybody here at Gulfstream for their hospitality. Always appreciate it. When we come down here, they take good care of us. So I will wrap it up here for Friday morning Racing Across America. Again, tomorrow, 8 a.m. Mark that on your calendar because we're a little earlier than usual with the early post time for Florida Derby Day. Really looking forward to it. Great day coming up tomorrow. And again, don't forget the mandatory pay in the Rainbow Six on Sunday. Seth Merrill, Racing Across America, live from Gulfstream Park. Just happy to be back on the road again. Hopefully you enjoyed the show this morning and got some good information. Play this afternoon. Let's load up and get ready for tomorrow, Florida Derby Day. And we'll see you at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to kick things off.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.